laptop. Adam has pulled up satellite photographs of an expanse of suburbia. It looks like a totally generic, wealthy community. When I look a little closer, I notice a paranoid number of security cameras mounted on the imposingly tall stone wall that encircles the entire property.
"This is Ashwood Estates, just outside of Washington, D.C., Adam continues. "It's home to the top-ranking Mogadorians assigned to North America. With the Plum Island facility wrecked and Chimeri recovered, I think we should focus our attack here."
"What about the mountain base in West Virginia?" I ask. Adam shakes his head.
"That is a military installation only, kept out of sight so my people's forces can mass there. We'd have a hard time taking it down now. And anyway, the real power, the true-born Mogadorians, the leaders, they reside in Ashwood."
Malcolm clears his throat. "I tried to relay everything you told me about the Trueborns, Adam, but maybe it'd be better if you explained it."
Adam looks around at us, a bit apprehensive.
"I don't know where to begin."
"You can skip the whole Mogadorian birds and the bees speech," Sam says, and I stifle a smile.
"It has to do with the bloodlines, right?" I say, prompting him.
"Yeah. Trueborn are the pure bloodlines. Mogadorians born of Mogadorian parents. Like me,"
Adam says, slouching a bit. His trueborn status is no great point of pride.
"The others, the Vatborn, are the soldiers you fought most often. They are not born, but grown, thanks to the science of Cetricus Ra."
"Is that why they disintegrate?" Sarah asks. "Because they're not, like, real Mogs?"
"They're bred for combat, not for burying,"
Adam replies.
"Doesn't sound like much of a life," I say.
"You Mogs worship Cetricus Ra for that?"
"As the historians contained in the great book tell it, our people were dying off before the so-called beloved leader came along. The Vatborn and Cetricus Ra's genetic research saved our species."
Adam pauses, a sneer forming as he thinks this over.
"Of course, Cetricus Ra also wrote the great book, so who knows?"
"Fascinating," Malcolm says.
"Yeah, definitely more about Mogadorian breeding than I ever wanted to know," I say, turning back to the laptop. "If this place is filled with high-ranking Mogs, won't it be heavily guarded?"
"There will be guards, yes. But not enough to make a difference," he replies. "You need to understand, my people feel safe here. They are used to being the hunters, not the hunted."
"So what?" I continue. "We kill a few true-born Mogs and that's it? What difference does that make?"
"Any losses in Trueborn leadership will have wide-ranging impacts on Mogadorian operations. The Vatborn are not particularly good at directing themselves."
Adam traces his finger across the immaculately kept lawns of Ashwood Estates.
"Plus, there are tunnels beneath these houses."
Malcolm walks around to our side of the table, crossing his arms as he looks at the images.
"I thought you destroyed those tunnels, Adam."
"I damaged them, yes," Adam replies. "But they stretch far beyond the rooms we were in. Even I am not entirely sure what we might find down there."
Sam looks from Adam to his father.
"Is that where—"
"It's where they held me,"
Malcolm answers.
"Where they took my memories, and where Adam rescued me."
"It's possible we can find a way to restore your memories,"
Adam says, sounding eager to help Malcolm,
"if the equipment wasn't too badly damaged."
What Adam's saying makes sense, but I can't quite bring myself to admit it. I've spent my entire life running and hiding from Mogadorians, fighting them, killing them. They've taken everything from me. And now, here I am, making battle plans alongside one. It just doesn't feel right, Not to mention we're talking about a full frontal assault on a Mogadorian compound with none of the other guard backing me up. As if on cue, Dust wanders over and sits down next to Adam's feet. He reaches down to absently scratch behind its ears. If the animals trust him, shouldn't I be able to?
Whatever we find in those tunnels,
Adam continues, probably knowing I'm not sold.
I am certain it will provide valuable insight into their plans. If your friends are captured or being tracked, we will know for sure once I've accessed the Mogadorian systems.
What if one of them dies while we're on this mission of yours?
Sam asks, his voice cracking a little at the thought.
What if they die because we didn't rescue them when we had the chance?
Adam pauses, thinking this over.
I know this must be hard for you,
he says, looking between me and Sam.
I admit, it's a calculated risk.
Calculated risk, I repeat. Those are our friends you're talking about.
Yeah, Adam replies, and I'm trying to help keep them alive.
Logically, I know Adam really is trying to help. But I'm stressed, and I've been brought up not to trust his kind. Before I know what I'm doing, I take a step towards him and jab a finger into his chest.
This better be worth it, I tell him. And if something happens in Florida...
I'll take responsibility, he replies. It'll be on me. If I'm wrong, John, you can dust me.
If you're wrong, I probably won't need to, I say, staring into his eyes. Adam doesn't look away. Sarah loudly whistles between her fingers, getting everyone's attention.
If we can put the whole macho posturing thing on hold for a second, I think you guys should take a look at this.
I step around Adam, telling myself to cool down, and look over Sarah's shoulder at the website she's pulled up.
I was looking up news stories about Chicago, and this popped up, she explains. It's a pretty slick-looking website.
Except for the all-caps headlines and sheer amount of flying saucer gifs cluttering the sidebars. The stories listed under Most Popular, all of the links in a neon green that I guess is supposed to look alien, include Mogadorians undermining government and Earth's Lorik protectors driven into hiding. The page Sarah currently has open features a picture of the burning John Hancock Center along with the headline, Moog Attack in Chicago. Is this the Zero Hour? The website is called They Walk Among Us.
Oh, jeez,
Sam groans, joining the huddle around Sarah's computer.
Not these creeps.
What is this? I ask Sarah, squinting at the story on the screen.
These dudes used to be strictly into the old-school black-and-white zine style, Sam says. Now they're on the internet. I can't decide if that makes them better or worse.
The Moogs killed them, I point out. How does this even exist in any form?
I guess there's a new editor, Sarah says. Check this out.
Sarah clicks into the website's archives, going back to the first story ever posted. The headline reads, Paradise High School Attack, Start of Alien Invasion. Below that is a grainy cell phone picture of the destruction around our high school's football field. I quickly skim the article. The level of detail is astounding. It's like whoever wrote this was there with us.
Who's Jolly Roger 182?
I ask, looking at the screen name credited in the post. Sarah looks up at me with an odd smile, bewilderment mixing with something like pride.
You're going to think I'm crazy, she says.
What's a Jolly Roger anyway? Sam asks, thinking out loud. The pirate flag?
Yeah, Sarah replies, nodding. Like the Paradise High Pirates, whose old quarterback happens to be one of the only other people outside our group to know what went down at the high school. I widen my eyes at Sarah. No way. Yes, way, she replies. I think Jolly Roger 182 is Mark James.
Chapter 3.
The Mogadorians, along with their cronies from the corrupted branches of national security, are believed to have fought a protracted battle in New Mexico against the heroic guard, Sam reads aloud. My sources believe the Mogadorians were forced to retreat after their leader sustained an injury. The whereabouts of the guard remain unknown.
He's right on the money, Malcolm says, turning to me. But where is he getting his information?
No idea, I reply. We didn't exactly stay in touch after Paradise. I lean over Sam's shoulder to check out the next story. I'm baffled by the amount of information Mark James, or whoever this is, has posted to They Walk Among Us. There are details of our battle at Dulce Base, early speculation about the attack in Chicago, frightening essays about what Mogs look like and what they're capable of, and posts rallying humanity in support of the Lorik. There are also articles covering topics that I've never considered, even ones about which members of the U.S. government are in league with the Mogadorians. Sam clicks through to a story where Mark accuses the Secretary of Defense, a man named Bud Sanderson, of using his political clout to pave the way for a Mogadorian invasion. Another click yields a second article about Sanderson, one with the tabloid-friendly headline, Corrupt SOD Using Mogadorian Genetic Treatments. The story is tied to an image of Sanderson from 5 years ago, juxtaposed with one of him from a few months ago. In the first, Sanderson looks like a haggard man in his late 70s. His face is age-spotted, and he has a double chin and a steep paunch. In the second, he's lost weight and has a healthy glow and a full head of silver hair. It's almost as if he's time-traveled. In fact, I bet most people would think the picture was a hoax, like it's a photo of Sanderson from 20 years ago with a fake timestamp. But if you take Mark at his word, something's definitely changed with the Secretary of Defense. Something way bigger than diet and exercise, or even plastic surgery. Sam shakes his head, not buying it.
How would Mark possibly know all this? I mean, Sarah, you went out with him. Did he even know how to read?
Yes, Sam, Sarah replies, rolling her eyes. Mark could read.
But he was never, journalistically inclined, was he? This is like WikiLeaks over here.
People tend to change when they find out aliens are real, Sarah responds. It looks to me like he's been trying to help. We don't know for sure that it's Mark, I say, frowning. I look over at Adam. He's been quiet since we started exploring the They Walk Among Us website, listening to us with a hand on his chin, thoughtful. Could this be some kind of trap? I ask him, figuring it's best to consult the expert.
Of course, he says without hesitation. Although if it is, it's an elaborate one. And even for the sake of trapping you, I find it hard to believe Cetricus Ra would admit to being driven off from Dulce Base.
Is it true? Malcolm asks. What he's written about the Secretary of Defense.
I don't know, Adam replies. It very well could be.
I'm going to email him, Sarah announces, opening up a new browser tab.
Hold on,
Adam says quickly, a bit more polite than when he slammed my idea to try rescuing the others.
If this Mark person really does have access to all this highly secret intel, Sam chuckles, my people will almost certainly be monitoring his communications.
Adam concludes, raising an eyebrow at Sam. He turns back to Sarah.
They'll also definitely be monitoring your email.
Sarah slowly lifts her hands away from the keyboard. Can't you do anything about that?
I know how their cyber tracking systems work. It was something I excelled at during my training. I could write an encryption code, reroute her IP address through servers in different cities.
Adam turns to me like he wants permission.
They'd unravel it eventually. We'd have to leave this place within 24 hours to be safe.
Do it, I tell him. Better that we keep moving anyway. Adam immediately begins typing commands into his laptop. Sam rubs his hands together and leans over Adam's shoulder.
You should reroute them to as many crazy places as possible. Make them think Sarah's in Russia or something.
Adam smirks.
Consider it done.
It takes Adam about 20 minutes to write some code that will reroute our IP address through a dozen far-flung locations. I think back to the elaborate computer system Henri always had set up, and the even more complicated grid that Sandor built in Chicago. Then I imagine 100 Mogadorians, just like Adam, hunched over keyboards stalking us. I never doubted our sapons were justified in their paranoia. But seeing Adam work, I finally realized just how necessary it was.
Whoa,
Sarah says when she's finally able to open her email. The list of bold-faced, unread mail consists entirely of messages from Mark James.
It really is him.
Or the Moogs hacked his email, Sam suggests.
Doubtful, Adam replies. My people are thorough, sure, but this seems kind of roundabout.
I glance over the email headings, lots of exclamation points and capital letters. A few months ago, the idea of Mark James spamming my girlfriend would have gotten under my skin. But now, it seems like our rivalry was something that happened to someone else, something from another life.
When was the last time you checked this?
I ask.
Weeks ago. I don't really remember, Sarah replies. I've been a little busy.
She opens the most recent message from Mark, and we all lean in to examine the contents.
Sarah, I don't know why I keep sending these emails.
Part of me hopes that you're reading them, using them to help the Lorik, and can't reply for your own safety. Another part of me worries that you aren't even out there, that you're gone.
I refuse to believe that, but I need to hear from you.
I thought I had a lead on you in New Mexico. All I found there was a deserted military base. It looked like a major battle went down, way bigger and nastier than what happened in Paradise. I hope you guys got out safe. I hope like hell I'm not the only one left to fight these assholes. That would suck. A friend of mine set up a safe house for me, way off the grid. A place where we can work on exposing those pale freaks to the world. If you can get in touch, I'll find a way to send you the coordinates. We're on to something big. Something international. I don't even know what to do with it. If you're reading these, if you're still in contact with John, now would be a really good time to show up. I need your help. Mark. Sarah turns to me, her eyes wide with sudden passion, face set determinedly. I've seen that look before. Know it well. It's the look she gives me right before telling me she wants to do something dangerous. Without her even saying anything, I already know that Sarah wants to find Mark James. The dashboard clock reads 7:45. We've got 15 minutes until the bus leaves for Alabama. I've got 15 minutes left with Sarah Hart. 15 minutes was about how long it took Adam to encrypt Sarah's email against any Mogadorian hackers. She got off a quick note to Mark, who replied almost immediately with an address for a restaurant in Huntsville. He told Sarah he'd watch the place for the next few days and, If she really was Sarah Hart, he'd pick her up there and spirit her off to his secret hideout. At least Mark's